compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick. Really happy to be with you. I'm the Shrine Director at the Shrine of St. Joseph in Santa Cruz, California, and just a great fan of Relevant Radio, and that's why I'm really happy to be sitting in, giving Patrick a little bit of time off to enjoy with his family. He'll be back very soon, right after the Thanksgiving holiday. Until then, why don't we share our faith, prepare for Thanksgiving together, and count our blessings, recognize them. We are going to get to the phones. We have a number of people waiting, and if you want to call in, you're welcome. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. But I wanted to share a story with you, and with you, Cyrus, also, because this is something I was not prepared for, and something that has given me material for several homilies over the past few weeks. Listen to this. The other night, it was dusk. It was in the evening. I was walking around, closing up our shrine. I was locking the doors, making sure the lights were off. It was a kind of a quiet evening. I think it was a Saturday, and by that point, the town around the shrine really gets quiet and the tourists aren't going by as much. And it felt like it was just me. The parking lot was empty. And I was closing the last door at the shrine, and I look back and I see a group of adults walking towards me. And I saw two young adults there, maybe in their, I don't know, mid to late 20s, I would guess. And then what appeared to me to be family members of theirs behind them. There were six or eight people, and by the time I saw them, they were pretty close to me, and they said, "Hey, can we take a peek inside of the shrine?" And I love people visiting our churches. I also was at the point where I was just about done. It was a long Saturday. I was tired. I really just wanted to close the church and go. And the other thing, this sounds really bad now that I'm saying it, Cyrus, am I like this crotchety old man, like, go home, get off my lawn, I'm trying to do something. The other thing that was in my mind here is that, well, if these people are just tourists and just kind of want to see the church out of curiosity, is that really going to help them in their walk with the Lord? Is that really important?
But tired. I want to go home.
I want to go home, right? I'm thinking of the parables like that Jesus, talks about perseverance and the judge in his bed, and the old widow knocking on his door wanting some bread. I'm probably getting the characters wrong in the parable here, but knocking on his door saying, I have some guests. I need some bread. I need some help with hospitality. And he ultimately, out of perseverance, goes, even though he's tired and annoyed. And that was me, right? I was the tired and annoyed guy. And but in that moment, thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit gave me a tiny bit of extra patience. And I said, oh, sure, please, And then they go inside and they were very devout. I realized, oh, these were not just tourists walking by. These were folks who are Catholic, clearly, who appreciate going in and saying a few prayers before the tabernacle and the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord in the tabernacle. And so then I felt this twinge of regret for having those thoughts before, but also this appreciation, and I was edified. So they come out and we're chatting and we're talking, and they're telling me about where they're from. And sure enough, they're a couple, boyfriend and girlfriend, and their family members are there. And so then I decide to give them a little quick tour of our shrine property. And we have this really nice coffee shop that we opened up in the middle of the pandemic. It's just this beautiful, it kind of has a theme of the workshop of St. Joseph, and it's used for evangelization. We serve really good coffee, but we have it open to the general public. And so I'm showing them, I'm very proud of this.
You had me at coffee.
Yeah, totally. and we're enjoying it. We're looking at it. And they're admiring it. And then one by one, they start to file out. But I could see that the young man was holding back. He was letting everybody else go, and he was kind of waiting for them to leave. And so I waited. It seemed to me he might have wanted to ask me something. And sure enough, after the last one goes out, he turns to me and he says, "Father, I'm about to propose to my girlfriend in your gardens. And I would love for you to come out and bless." And I'm all of a sudden, I'm thinking, wait, this has never happened before, you know? And I think Cyrus, in the moment, I became more nervous than he was. I was thinking, this better. Yeah, you're probably right. Although that it felt like.
Oh, that is so cool.
Isn't that awesome? So I'm standing there in the coffee shop, and he's asking me if I'll come out and witness the proposal and also give them a blessing afterwards. And I'm like, I think you need a blessing right now before you do this. And so I give him a quick blessing there. And then I walk out. And then it became funny because the family gathered around this statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I'm out there loitering, trying to pretend like I'm looking at flowers and picking up, you know, gum wrappers on the ground. I'm trying to pretend like, oh, this is just, I'm just hanging out. But really, I'm spying over there looking to see what's happening. And sure enough, he drops down to one knee. He turns to his girlfriend, and it was such a beautiful proposal because she wasn't surprised. I think she knew that it was coming. The family didn't seem startled, and that was fine. You know, what was really beautiful about it to me was that he said he put the whole proposal in the context of Saint Joseph. And he said, well, Saint Joseph was an excellent husband, and I really want to be a good husband to you. And he described his love in words I don't recall now.
That's awesome.
Isn't that incredible?
That's a real man right there.
Yeah. No, I was really impressed. And he was on one knee, and she said yes. And he pulled out a ring and put the ring on her finger. And then I got my way into their pictures, and I gave them a blessing. I'm going to be invited to their wedding. I'm going to make sure of it.
Awesome. I'm
just kidding. But no, it was really incredible. But here's the moral of the story for me, besides getting to participate in this really, really blessed moment in the lives of these individuals. I realized if I had closed the door to the shrine, if I had said, no, sorry, there's nothing to see here, I would not have been involved in that. In fact, you know, I probably would have put a damper on that proposal. At least they wouldn't have, you know, had the same reception and welcoming kind of spirit. It's funny, you know, Cyrus, I just think back, and I'm so grateful to God that he, you know, in his providence said, Matthew, man up, you got to be, give a little more time here. This is an important moment in the lives of these individuals. And so often we just want to close the door on those moments. I'm tired. I'm busy. I have my own life to worry about. I don't want to be there present for somebody else, but sometimes it's important, you know.
That's awesome. What a cool story. What a great responsibility that, you know, you have all the time. It's not like you get to take your collar off and you're just Matthew.
Yeah.
You're always Father
really
Matthew
true.
Spencer.
Always Father Matthew. It's part of our identity and part of, and while we do need downtime as priests, we do need time when we can be recollected and be renewed in our commitment to the Lord. When we're human beings, we have limitations. We can't always be on, but we can never be unavailable. We can never be just, like you said, take off our collar, pretend that I don't have to be an image of the Father to others. And I think we as Christians, in fact, have to take that responsibility seriously. Not that we have to always, you know, give every minute of our time to people who ask for it. We have to be prudential, but if we're not careful, we become selfish and we miss those beautiful opportunities like that proposal of these two. Incidentally, you know, I've seen this couple since then. This happened 6 or 7 weeks ago, I want to say. They've come back to the shrine and shared more of their story with me. And it's even better after I learned about it, because he was actually going to propose nearby at the lighthouse, because he didn't realize there was a shrine and a Catholic church nearby. So he was looking at the ocean and was going to propose in this beautiful spot of California. As it turns out, there was a farmer's market happening at the lighthouse, and he didn't feel right getting down on one knee next to a booth of pumpkins, you know, to propose to his wife, to his fiance. Anyway, so as it turned out, it was all providence. The whole thing was providential. So, yeah, friends, we got to be available, don't we? 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Thanks for indulging me in that story. We'll go back to the phones right now. Let's go to Flores calling from Arizona. Hello, Flores. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hey, good morning, Father. I need advice on a situation where my wife and I are a little divided. Her sister, who had never been baptized, is about to marry a former Catholic who had rejected his faith and become an evangelical many years ago. Of course, he doesn't care about canon law and all that, so no dispensation, going to be married in the, you know, in front of the judge and the peace. Now, they're located overseas, and they're going to come visit us sometime, maybe next year. And the question is, my understanding is they're not validly married in the eyes of the church. But question is it okay for them to stay together in one room in our home, which my wife wants them to do when they come visit? That's basically the question.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there are a couple layers to this, Flores. So the first question, is it right for them to do it? I would say no, it's not right for them to do it, in the sense that they're putting themselves in the near occasion of sin, right? They're not married in the eyes of God, and they're putting themselves in a situation where they could be tempted deeply. So just objectively, I think that's a bad decision on their part to put themselves in that place. But the second question, and I think the one more that you're getting at, is, well, what is your responsibility in that, right? I mean, what is the responsibility of you and your wife in relation to them? And this is a challenging thing, and probably one that's coming up everywhere now that Thanksgiving is happening. I suspect parents and families are having to think about this question quite a bit. And it kind of goes back to a question that we had earlier about marriage, that there's the principles and the values that the church gives us, and then we have to use prudence and right judgment in how to help people. And I think the question is, are we enabling somebody in their sin, right? Are we participating in such a way that their sin, you know, would be impossible, would be possible because of us? And I would say, you know, allowing them to sleep in your home, to share a room, is allowing them to be in the near occasion of sin, but it's their decision that's doing that. They're gonna take that position no matter where they stay, I suspect. You know, it's not like if they if they don't stay at your place, they'll now find separate rooms at the local motel, right? They're not gonna do that. They're gonna get the same room or find somewhere else to stay. So your participation is not essential in their you know, in their discernment of moral decisions that they're going to make. So from that perspective, it's not immoral for you to allow them to stay there. But I think the question is, like, what's the best way to, or I think from that point, the thing to ponder is, what's the best way to evangelize them? What's the best way to minister to them? And for some people, inviting them on this point, challenging them on this point is going to help them. You know, I think of some people who have never heard this message before, some people who have never heard that it's not okay to have sexual relations before you get married. And for us as Catholics and Christians to be able to invite them and say, hey, you know, we have two separate rooms, two separate beds. These are our values, and this is what we hope you respect within our house. That's an invitation to them to think more deeply about what your values are and what how they're living their life. Some people are at that point. Some people know very well what our Catholic values are, and by giving them separate beds and separate rooms, it's not going to help in their evangelization. But I think at the very least, Flores, is sharing with them. So I guess let me give you my opinion on this. And for the many, many people out there who are pondering this same situation, if our participation in that sin is not essential, right, then that's the first measure. You know, if that sin would not occur without our participation, then that's the first important question to ponder. But then we look and we say, well, what is the best way to evangelize them? And I think at the very least is a conversation that needs to take place to say, well, these are our values. And we really think that if you guys are going to be in an intimate relationship, you need to ponder how to live that out before God. And this is what we believe as Catholics. And by the way, this is the message that I didn't hear, Flores, if you have children, which is another thing to consider. What is the example that you're giving your children in the home by allowing somebody to stay at the house? Which is so these are all aspects of that need to be considered and need to be pondered. But ultimately, I think we try to consider avoiding sin, evangelization, and leading to the conversion of the people that God places in our life.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, these are tough questions, aren't they, Flores? I know. I wish you could say, well, here's what you do. They can stay until 8 p.m. and that's it, right? Then they can only come back at 7 in the morning. It's not so black and white.
In their eyes, they're married, just not to our eyes. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think these are challenging things, right? We want to invite them, and maybe you have that conversation with them in a loving way to say, hey, if you guys really believe you're married, you know, what about coming back to the Catholic Church? What about look at how our faith has helped us, and use that as a moment to share with them, you know, your faith.
Thank you.
Okay, Flores, myself and our whole Relevant Radio Network will be praying for you, okay? We'll be praying for your witness and evangelization in that moment. Not only that, we'll be praying for all of those who are faced with very similar circumstances and situations. These are hard ones, I know, especially for... God bless you, Flores. Thanks for calling. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you.
These are tough questions that I know a lot of people face around the holidays. Especially parents who have children and you long desperately to see your children. Be careful. Don't enable your children in their sin. Don't turn a blind eye to their behavior, which is not leading them to the Lord. On the other hand, you have to be astute as well in how you evangelize them. You have to be aware of what's going to actually lead them to conversion, and work hard on that with love, with truth, always striving to image the love of the Father to those we meet. Okay, a quick timeout here. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. 888-914-9149. If you want to join the conversation, I'm Father Matthew Spencer, sitting in for Patrick Madrid. I'll be right back.
Of course, all my relatives will be over for Thanksgiving dinner. I know they will. They're circling over the house now.
You have a special place in God's plan for the world. Learning about Christ's role in history can change your life and strengthen your faith. Right now, get free access to Christendom College's online history class at principlesclasses.com/Madrid.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. As we gear up for Thanksgiving, it's Father Matthew Spencer sitting in the pilot's chair here, just temporarily. Of course, Patrick is, I almost said Father Patrick. Patrick is away. He is a father, of course, and a grandfather. He's away spending time with all of his children and grandchildren. He'll be back Monday, right, Cyrus? He'll be back in the studio?
He will be back in the saddle on Monday. And awesome. He's got a lot of fun stuff planned.
We were talking about what he has planned. That's going to be great. Looking forward to it. If you want to call, 888-914-9149 is the number to call. If you want to talk about Thanksgiving, talk about your faith, talk about the struggles and challenges that might crop up here at Thanksgiving. I'm wondering, I was just thinking about all the people who are going to have to talk about politics, going to talk about all of the different societal ills that we have. I know it's almost unavoidable for many people. I'm really, it's one of the blessings of belonging to a religious community. Not that these things don't pop up. Obviously, we're human beings, so when we gather together for meals, we talk about the same stresses and tensions that are in the world. But as a religious community, we also have this very special blessing to be focused on the Lord, and that characterizes our life there, and it really makes for a different experience. So thanks be to God for that. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I really want to talk about this this article that I saw from the BBC. But before we jump to that, why don't I give David from West Milford, New Jersey, a chance to chime in. Hi, David. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thanks for waiting.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call. So on my journey to dive deeper into my Catholic faith, and I'm at this point where I can actually defend the Catholic faith to my relatives and family. I have a bunch of Bibles. I have lots of New King James Version. I have, they're non-Catholic Bibles. I don't know what to do with them. So at this point, I don't want to give them back because that will just steer somebody else possibly in the wrong direction. Or I can keep them. I just don't know what to do with them. That's my question.
Yeah, I think, so first of all, I if you have the space, then keeping them could be handy. It's not that you would refer to them often, but I have found that it does help, in my conversations with those who use different translations or those who have, a different tradition. I'm thinking of when my conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or even right. our Protestant brothers and sisters, then being able to look up different translations can be helpful, although it's for many people. Yeah, it can be useful. Then again, you can oftentimes get those translations online, and it's almost it can almost be more useful because you can compare translations online or with your favorite app that way. So essentially,
you just made a like one in my head. I think I like that, and the fact that if I keep them, I can actually meet people where they are and show them the difference. And I like that actually. Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's very true. Yeah. I mean, you can take out the Bible that they're using, and that just the more we understand the nuances of translation, and also the more we're able to meet people, for example, I think our Catholic Bible, of course, is complete, whereas those who are missing seven books isn't complete. But on the other hand, we can kind of meet people where they're at and invite them to go deeper, but show them that we're willing to first start where they're at and then go from there. But let me just for the sake of those who might be listening, who might not be in the same position as you, David, where they're going to be having conversations with others on a technical scriptural conversations. If you want to dispose of Bibles, or for that matter, if you need to dispose of blessed religious articles, the two accepted means inside of the Catholic Church are to either bury them or to burn them. We have an aversion to burning books, which I think is a good aversion. But in this case, the burning is not out of disrespect. It's a matter of having it return to the materials, the core materials of dust, to which all of us will one day return. And so those, David, if you do change your mind or you do have other articles or items that need to be disposed of, both of those are acceptable ways to dispose of them.
So that's interesting because my son said the same thing. He's He's 26, and he's diving into the Catholic faith. He's got us going back to confession. When I say us, my wife and I, basically weekly adoration on Thursdays at St.
Wow,
Mary's.
Great.
But, I love it. I love it. But when you said burn the Bibles, I'm like, I'm not burning a Bible.
I know. It feels wrong, doesn't it? It feels wrong.
It does.
But we're burning it we're burning it not out of disrespect. We're burning it because we don't want it to be disrespected in a sacrilegious
right.
way. So, yeah.
But
I totally get that. It felt weird to me, you know, as a priest, we have, you know, we regularly go through our library to clean things out, and we will burn those books, but it does, we don't really talk about it that often because people interpret that in the wrong way, in a way that we don't mean. So, okay, very good.
I appreciate your advice. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet, David. A very happy and warm Thanksgiving to you. God bless you and your family. We could go to Al in Rhode Island. Hello, Al. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, excuse me. Hi, Father. I have a question. Can a fallen away Catholic pray the rosary in the chaplet of Divine Mercy and will, you know, for the souls in purgatory? And will those prayers count?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they can pray it, and they should pray it for that matter. We don't wait until we're in a state of grace or in a perfect place in life until we pray. Thanks be to God, we pray even when we're in a really bad space, even maybe when I'm far away from the church or the sacraments or feeling far away from a relationship with God. Now, I say that, Al, obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious, but our prayers are oftentimes more efficacious when our faith life is stronger because, we can listen to God more easily and our prayers will be heard by God. But on the other hand, God also is looking out for sinners. God is chasing after sinners. And those little moments of prayer that we can have, either praying for souls in purgatory, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Rosary, these ones that you mentioned are all very good, special, important prayers. All of these can help us in our own journey and returning to God. So yeah, I would say absolutely. Prayer is not just reserved for saints or those who are perfect. Prayer is for all of us, even when we're in the worst spot in life. Actually, in fact, I think our prayers are heard in a very special way when we're when we've distanced ourselves from the Lord and when He wants to take us back.
Okay, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Thank you, Al. God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving to you, too. We will get to the phones again. They're kind of filling up here, 888-914-9149. But before we do, I wanted to talk about this article specifically because of the conversations that you're going to have this Thanksgiving. This article, which is from a secular source from the BBC, really gave me food for thought in how we approach conversations at Thanksgiving, and not only at Thanksgiving, all of our conversations. The article is essentially about why is it that people who are morally upright, who are even overly kind, can get on our nerves? And I think we've all had this experience. You see, they call it, in fact, do-gooder syndrome, where people who are almost too nice, almost too apparently upright morally, seem to rub us the wrong way. They annoy us. We think that they're not being authentic, maybe. And in fact, a lot of research has gone into this in human relationships. I was reading this particular piece, and it's talking about these different studies that researchers have done. Trying to gauge when people sense that somebody is maybe being too nice, or when they interpret someone's actions as being almost manipulatively nice, then the reaction, even if they're not trying to manipulate us, even if they're actually being genuinely nice, we as human beings will often interpret others' actions through a lens where we think, what are they trying to get out of me? What's their end goal here? What is their end game in this conversation or in their actions with me? What's interesting to me is that you and I have this almost, well, it's from fallen human nature, but it's a natural thing to be suspicious when people are nice to us and when people are good to us. Have you ever had that happen? You try to have a conversation, somebody feels like they're being too nice to you, and then you start wondering, what are their motives here? What do they really want? What are they really going after? I've never had that happen to me, Cyrus. I don't know about you. I've never had that. I know. It's strange, isn't it? In fact, psychologists call it do-gooder derogation. It's a fancy term for what happens often. Why do we do this? Well, actually, it's because we have been manipulated that way in the past. People have used us by pretending to be better than they are or being manipulative in that way. So some of it is based on our learned experience. Some of it is based on us needing to improve in these areas. But some of it is because we have this fallen human nature. We interpret people's actions in a negative way, and we don't give them a chance to be good, to be moral, to be the upright people that they are. The only reason I'm mentioning this is that you're going to have conversations at Thanksgiving where you're going to jump to conclusions about what somebody's saying to you. I mean, I'm thinking about this in my own life and in the past, how this has happened, where somebody's saying something and you're going to say, oh, this person, they're just being a do-gooder, or they're not really this nice in in other situations. And instead of maybe jumping to conclusions about that, instead of maybe, presuming that we know what's behind their motives, there's an invitation for us to say, well, maybe I should give them a chance. Maybe I should remember my own biases here. Maybe I should remember this conversation that you and I are having right now, that, yeah, we have a skepticism of do-gooders in our life. Maybe it's based on experience. Maybe it's based on fallen human nature. And maybe it's okay to think about that. But on the other hand, it's also important to give people a chance and to let people be nice. Let people be holy. Let people be good and warm to us. Anyway, just some thoughts, okay, before you dive into those very difficult Thanksgiving conversations, make sure that you're thinking and trying to see things as clearly as possible. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. And as promised, we're going to go back to the phones. Let's go to Ari calling from San Jose, California. Hello, Ari. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, Father. So I just wanted to get your opinion on my situation. So at the moment, my fiance is currently in the ICU. He's struggling with COVID and pneumonia. And he's just like fully sedated at the moment. I'm really close with his family. However, we are on completely opposite sides politically. And obviously, you know how political this virus is, in addition to how dangerous it is. And we both decided to not get vaccinated because we want to have kids and we just, you know, want to be as natural as possible. I am really feeling guilty. Not that they're making me feel guilty for like of putting him in the hospital, but I definitely feel like it's my fault. And they're all pretty much, you know, kind of demanding, not demanding, but they're like they're kind of demanding that I get vaccinated. And at this point, I'm just kind of feeling like maybe I should. Obviously I can't even talk to my fiance about it. But I'm just kind of feeling like, you know, I already did so much damage in the situation. Do you think I should get vaccinated? Like, what are your thoughts?
I'm so sorry. My goodness, I can't even imagine your fiance in the ICU during this holiday season. And then on top of that, all of the tensions in the family. I'm just so sorry. What a terrible, difficult situation to be in. The church has been very clear on this, right? The church has said that it's morally permissible to use the vaccines. Some of them require more consideration, right? For example, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine uses a different method of sourcing it rather than the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. In all circumstances, the church has said that if we do avail ourselves of the use of the vaccine, we need to express very concretely our position that vaccines should be developed without the use of fetal stem cells for testing, and certainly not for production. So we have to make that clear as part of our use if we do use the vaccine, which is morally permissible. But also the church has been clear that nobody can be forced to be vaccinated, right? This has to be a question that you take to your doctor, that you take to your particular circumstances, and also that you evaluate with a well-formed conscience. I think it's pretty risky to get vaccinated because of pressure from others, Ari, whether it's from family, whether it's from your workplace. The reason I say that is because this has to be a decision that you make in peace and in good conscience, and it shouldn't come from external pressure from people like this that you're describing. And the reason I say that is because that leads to decisions that we make not for the right purposes, right? We make those kinds of decisions, based on pressure from others. So that's what I'd say. I'm not here to tell you one way or the other to get vaccinated or not. That's not my place, right? All I'm here to tell you about is what the church has said, the clear teachings of the church, that it is permissible, that you need to look at your own medical situation. It's not right that people blame you for any situation of your fiancé. That's certainly not fair and not the case. But I think make the decision based on what you discern to be best with your health professional. Okay.
Got it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll pray for you. These are times, you know, the things this, I've had this conversation with countless people, you know, of like, what do we do? You know, I have these pressures from family or I really feel like my family needs to be vaccinated. Like everybody is all, in a different spot on these questions. And I think what's very important is we look to the teachings of the church. We understand what the church, says we have to do, and that becomes very clear. Okay, all right. Okay. God bless you, Ari. Very warm and blessed Thanksgiving to you. Let's take a quick time out. You're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. My name is Father Matthew Spencer. When we get back, we'll go to the phones. Don't go anywhere.
My brother and I are very thankful for many, many things, and of course, I know the story of Thanksgiving. I think we all know the story
of
Thanksgiving.
Share the story of Thanksgiving.
Well, once upon a time, long, long ago. Uh-huh. The pilgrims came to America. That's about it.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
888-914-9149 is the number to call. It's Father Matthew Spencer. So happy to be with you. So blessed to be enjoying this hour this morning with you, Father. I did it again, Cyrus. I want to ordain Patrick. Patrick Madrid is away on a little vacation with his family, spending some time for this Thanksgiving holiday with his family. And so I'm glad to be subbing in for him. You're welcome to call. Let's go back to the phones here. We have Diane calling from San Bernardino, California. Hello, Diane. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is there any passage in the Bible or passages that can help someone begin the holidays right after they've lost a loved one? My daughter lost her husband this last Sunday.
Oh.
He was only 39. He had kidney disease and needed a kidney, but of course he never got one, was never able to get one.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so she's starting with that, and believe me, she has a lot of support, but for her, of course, as a mother, I worry, and just that, I don't know what you could tell me to.
Yeah. Diane, I'm so sorry. What a terrible time. I mean, any day is a terrible time to lose a loved one, but especially when it happens around the holidays. These are times when we want to have our loved ones close to us, and I'm just so sorry that you lost your son-in-law. The Bible is replete, is full of passages that can comfort us. And I'm thinking of various ones, Revelations 21, I should say, verse 4, the Lord will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Deuteronomy, of course, 31, reminds us to be strong and of good courage, to not be fearful or be in dread of our enemies or of evil. The Lord goes with us. He won't fall. We won't fall, and he won't forsake us. What I would recommend, Diane, we could just go on about many, many different Bible verses, right? And I could quote many. Romans 8:28. We know that everything God works for, that in everything God works for the good for those who love him. And he will bring good even out of this painful situation that your daughter's going through. What I would say is this, Diane, if you go online yourself and you search for, say, comforting Bible passages, I think what will happen is you'll be able to find passages from the Bible that you'll know will be much more fitting to the situation. You'll know what passages will ring more true for your daughter and in her sorrow. And I think it's really good, Dan, that you are going to Sacred Scripture, because Sacred Scripture gives us, you know, this very clear message from the Lord himself, and it's the best source of our consolation can be found in Sacred Scripture and in our faith. So I'm glad that she has, I'm glad that your daughter has you, I'm glad that you're thinking about how you can comfort her and help her. Scripture is definitely the right place to turn, but how important it is for you to find the right ones that apply yourself. So can you do that? Can you jump online yourself and do a search, maybe even from your phone? Yeah.
All right. Thank you so very much, Father.
Okay. And in the meantime, Dan, we're going to be praying for you. We'll be praying for your daughter. We'll be praying for the repose of the soul of your son-in-law as well, that all might experience great consolation at this time. Okay. A happy and blessed Thanksgiving to you, Diane. All the best to you. We'll go to Patrick now, calling from Chicago. Hello, Patrick. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Good morning, Father Spencer. Thanks you for your priesthood and your ministry. Appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
And thanks for taking my call. There was a previous caller, and I came in. I'm sorry, I apologize for this, but I came in where I didn't hear his question, but it sounded based on your advice. He had someone that was going to be coming into his house and, sleeping together. Is that correct? I'm not sure if I got that right.
Yeah. It was, I think his family members who were married civilly, not in the church. And, is it okay to let them stay in their house? You know, it wasn't that they were necessarily going to be having relations in the house. It was, can they stay there if they're not necessarily married in the church? And it wasn't even his loved one that wasn't married in the church. It was the spouse that was a fallen away Catholic. And so it was a rather complicated situation, but yeah, that was it, more or less.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, maybe I have it wrong. Well, I assumed that they weren't even married. And, so I don't know if my question is valid, but, I was thinking through what I heard, what you said to him, and all I heard was that as long as your participation is not essential, that it's not a sin. And I was applying it to another situation. Let's say someone wants to, rob a bank and they ask you to drive the getaway car, and it doesn't matter if you drive the car or not, if they'll do it anyways. And I was just saying, okay, well, we know that would be right.
That would be problematic. Yeah, yeah.
But it's not. It's an unessential. And I was just trying to reconcile the two together. I don't know.
Yeah. No. This is a good. I'm glad you're asking these questions, Patrick. I mean, this is what we do as Catholics, right? I mean, this is why the whole moral tradition in the church has to explore remote, material, formal cooperation. I mean, we've heard these terms many times as we've been talking about vaccines and mandates. I mean, this is what the church asks us to do, is to explore. Well, the hard part is, Patrick, when we step back, we live in a world of sin, and there's nothing that we can do that will completely separate us from evil, right? I mean, everything around us has been tainted in some way by evil. So what the church asks of us is, are we taking appropriate precautions? Are we distancing ourselves in appropriate ways from participation in evil, especially when we can understand those circumstances? I think that case of being the driver in a getaway car at a bank robbery is actually very different from the one we are describing, because that is actually a very formal material cooperation in a crime and in a sin. And so that one would clearly be, not permitted. But you're right. These are, the way I was describing it is, it's difficult. This is why we have hundreds of years of reflection on moral theology and examining these situations, and how do we distance ourselves from sin? How do we help others to not fall into sin, not support them in sin, but also look and see, how do we be Jesus who went to eat with the sinner, not as an affirmation of their sinful life, but as an opportunity to invite them from that life of sin to conversion.
Okay. Well, thank you, Father.
God bless you, Patrick. Have a nice Thanksgiving, okay?
You too. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks. God bless you. I think we can get to Ronnie before we have to take before we conclude the hour and go into our final hour. Hello, Ronnie is calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Father. My first thought is this. I'd like to wish you, Father Sweplin, Rocky, Father Rocky, and Drew Mariani, and all the staff at Relevant Radio, a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. And also, I'd like to say that in the Mass, there's a section in the Mass where we say, it is always right and just to give the Lord thanks every time, right? Mm-hmm. And then the priest says, it is right and just to thank the Lord. I don't have the words exactly correct, but that's, you know what I mean, right?
I do, yeah. It is truly right and just.
That means to me that today is Thanksgiving, but we don't just give God thanks to God just on Thanksgiving. We have to give thanks to God every day of the week on every circumstance, whether it's physical pain, mental pain, all kinds of distresses that we go through in life. We have to thank God, like St. Paul said, in every circumstance.
Amen. I totally agree with you. And I'm really glad you're bringing this up. We have to give thanks to God, even though our lives might be really tough right now, right, Ronnie? Even though life might be difficult for us, we have to give thanks to God.
So for us, every day is Thanksgiving.
Mm. Amen. And yes. And you know what else I like about the liturgy, Ronnie, that, when it says that, Thanksgiving itself is a gift from God. Our desire to praise God and to thank Him is itself a gift. We imagine that somehow we have something to give to God, that somehow He needs something from us, and He doesn't. God is complete in and of Himself. He doesn't need His creatures. Our desire to praise Him, our desire to worship Him, our desire to give Him thanks is itself a gift from God, right? And that's that's amazing when you think about it. The thanksgiving that we return to Him has been inspired within us, and that's why we have to do it, because even that is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us, right?
Yes. Can I say one more thing?
Go for it. Yeah. You have about 30 seconds.
I heard today for the first time about Father Padre Pio, and on his dying bed, his associates, his other priests, said to him, "Gee, we're going to miss you and this and that. You're not going to be here to help us and to give us confidence, whatever." And he said this. He says, "Don't worry." He says, "I'll be here in the Eucharist. Every time you take the Eucharist, you could think of me."
The beautiful. I mean, this is the mystery of our faith. Every time that we celebrate the Eucharist, the communion of saints comes together. The church exultant, triumphant in heaven, the church suffering in purgatory, and the church militant here on earth. We come together as part of the united body of Christ, and we're all united. And I think Padre Pio was aware of that very deeply. And so that's why one of the great consolations, right, Ronnie, when we go to Mass, that the Lord is not only present, but that also we're united to the whole communion of saints. In the church. Okay, a quick timeout. You're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I'll be back right after this. Now.